사하나바바투 사하나오브나투 사하빌얀카라바바하이 에자스위나바디타마스토마비드비샤바하이 Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
So page 39.
Srila Prabhupada adds,
Narad Muni took the opportunity to approach Prajapati Daksha in his bereavement, because the time of bereavement is a suitable time for appreciating Bhakti Yoga. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.16, four kinds of men: Arta, who is distressed; Artarti, one in need of money; Jigyasu, one who is inquisitive; and Jnani, a person in knowledge. Try to understand devotional service. Prajapati Daksha was in great distress because of the loss of his sons, and therefore Narada took the opportunity to instruct him regarding liberation from material bondage. Right? So he's not looking at the point that he's the one that's caused them to leave, right? He's looking at the principle that here's an opportunity to preach devotional service, just like he did with his sons, now with him.
Yeah. Fortunate, right? that situation arose.
Yes, yes. But the point being is he's not worried about this social position.
No.
Yes. Right? How it'll be thought about him, yes.
But we see it didn't work.
But you have to try.
But I'm saying that would it be better to consider social position in that sense? Maybe not.
Well, then he wouldn't go.
For us.
No, but then he wouldn't go.
He wouldn't.
But at least he tried.
I'm saying in our situation.
But what's our situation?
When we preach, we should distinguish.
But what's the benefit?
People might hear better.
No, but if he didn't go to talk to Prajapati, how would Prajapati have heard? So then, you understand? So then, therefore, it's for our benefit. You understand? We're considering ourselves, just like we said before. The devotee is sophisticated. He works in, you know, kind of like paralegal kind of positions and stuff like that. You know, now and again, he'll fly around here and there when he's on the plane. Then he strikes up a conversation, somehow or another it comes up that he's a Hare Krishna. They make some comments about the Hare Krishna movement. He feels very uncomfortable, and so therefore then he starts GBC proceedings to change those things in Prabhupada's books and in the way that the whole world deals and presents this aspect of our philosophy. Huh? This is just a abstract.
Of course.
Yeah,
hypothetical
position. You understand? So instead of knowing the philosophy, instead of trying to preach it, they're simply worried about their own social position, and then trying to say that no, this is what's going to be good for the movement. So we have to be careful of that. You know what I'm saying? In other words, what we're careful of socially is what words we use, what tones we use, what force we use, you know, those kind of things. You know, force meaning the force of our speech, you know, how strong it is or soft it is or this and that. That we adjust. That's where we consider the social, because that's where it's connected to the person. That much we do. But you know what I'm saying? So, That's the position.
But the situation, my place and circumstance.
But what's the circumstance?
And some people at that particular moment, family members. Sometimes they're more receptive, less receptive. Sometimes, you know, you can do it.
No, but that's the time and place. That's us. That's what's totally missed.
Yeah.
Totally missed. By devotees when they use that term, time, place, and circumstance. They think the circumstance is everybody else. So the time is there, the place is there, the circumstance. It has nothing to do with them. They're just walking into this thing and and analyzing it and then doing the needful. But the circumstances is us.
It's not the situation.
That's the time and place.
And us in what sense?
Us, because the circumstance is in the same time, the same place. One person can do one thing, another person can't. Does that make sense? Just like, okay, you have a particular, let's just take this hypothetical thing. You have, let's say, some particular family member, and they're grumpy. You can't do anything about it. No matter what you say, they'll get even more. But there's someone else in the family who could. Doesn't matter what they say, it'll work. While with us, no matter what we say, it won't work. You understand? So circumstance is us and how we can deal with it. Because patra means us. Okay? So that's what we do, is we take this impersonal, managerial, stand back, observe everything, and so therefore, no, but it's actually us. So yes, maybe we can't do for us, maybe. But it's not that's the situation. That's just our ability, right? I mean, it's just like so many times you see those, in the BTG, the Prabhupada speaks out, right? And it every time Prabhupada says something, or they ask a question, and Prabhupada says, so it's a one-sentence thing, and then it's another one-sentence back, and then it's another couple of sentences, another couple of sentences, and then Prabhupada speaks for the whole rest of the article. Now, personally, I've been in, same question, same situation. You say something, they say something. 3 hours later, it's still going back and forth. That's patra. That circumstance. Prabhupada just come in, and because of his conviction and his faith, and that it has that influence, that potency. And so therefore the people just see. And while we do, and we don't have the conviction, so therefore then they feel they can get away with it. And so then it keeps on going. But the others, they just know what he's speaking is correct. So they don't know why, they just... Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's always the thing, is that, yes, maybe we can't, but it's not because of the circumstances, because of us. We want to take it as, okay, we're not Prabhupada, so we can't do that, but at the same time, we want to make judgments like that. We have to be able to know, is the situation warrants that, whether we can do it or not, that's another thing. So it puts us in the junior position, rather than this modern... academic, critical thinking, logical, down to earth, all these things that we'll, fluff ourselves up with. Does that make sense? Because that's the problem. Because if I say it like that, everyone will agree. Yes, of course, it's a circumstance, what can you do about it? It's nothing to do with you. So we see in here time, place, circumstance. Where are we? We're totally left out of it. Yes. So that's the whole thing, is we're dependent. So when we're dependent upon Krishna, Krishna being all those, him being the time, him being the place, him being the circumstance, so therefore then we can do things. So that's what I'm saying, is Narad Muni's not worried about his own personal position. Whether Daksha accepts or not, whether he gets insulted or not, he's not worried about that. That's the point where we're saying that we socially don't care. Like the gopis, they don't care. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the things we're trying to get to that state. It's not artificial. So yes, therefore, if we can't deal with it, we would leave it. But it's not that, oh, you know, we can't, you know, it can't be done, and so therefore I'm still cool and all that, and the situation is bad. No, I don't have the potency too, but I'll continue my service and continue my sadhana. Maybe one day by Krishna's grace, I'll also be able to help in this part. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So basically, there is no situation you can't restrict. It's just whether or not.
Just whether we have that potency. That's the point. That's what it says about the Uttama. Is the Uttama, no matter what the situation, they always, there's no one can defeat them in an argument. Not because they're logical, they know so much more logic and they're more clever, or they're better orators, what we try to do. Oh, what are the different things? What are the tricks? They say this, you say this, and, you know, so that's what they teach you in these self-help kind of tutorial things, right? Is that, you know, if this one says this, you say that, and, you know, that kind of jazz. No, but it's a matter of they see the truth clearly, because everybody else is not. They're seeing, you know, just there's feelings, there's moods, there's samskaras and history and baggage and, you know, all that kind of stuff. They can see it very clearly. They can see them. That's the thing. They see the time. They see the place. They see the circumstance. That's why they can't be defeated. Because it's not that they have to be great scholars. The great scholars then, of course, can totally stump everybody with what they say. Like we said, Jiva Goswami, his writings are read by other sampradayas because they're just so exact and perfect. No one, when Prabhupada says that the greatest scholar in the contemporary, you know, modern time, you know, and modern means non-Vedic, so that means the Mughals are already in India. So from 1,000 years ago, then basically in India you're dealing with modern times, right? You know, and then, you know, I think it was what, in the '40s, and they made a movie out of it. But before that, there was no, that modern times already started then, you know, in India. And so what he, how he spoke, how he dealt, that's what they're meaning. So that means, basically speaking, in the Kali Yuga, there's been no greater scholar. But the point is scholarship is not what's required to present Krishna consciousness. It just, he gives the most scholarly presentation. Therefore, you can take it and if you can understand it, present it to those who are intelligent or who think they're intelligent, and they can't go beyond that. They can't cross over. There's nothing. It's so exact. And just from that side. But the real point is the power that they have due to their Krishna consciousness. That Krishna consciousness austerity. That's the real power. So that's what we're trying to get. That's the, you know, we're not looking for the power. You know, we're looking for what is the potency. Yes. It's the chit potency. But it's they have that full realization. They can see it clearly. Because if something's so clear, it's very easy to explain. So for them, it's so clear. So what we're getting here is that fine point there. Because otherwise, then we have to draw the line between I'm unable to preach in this situation, rather than, oh, this situation you can't preach. Because if we take the second one, that becomes very dangerous, because then you can extend it. Oh, it's Kali Yuga, we can't preach. Oh, this is not modern culture, we can't preach. Oh, this is something old and archaic, we can't use it. And that is Maya's trick. So we have to be very careful not to fall for that trick. Because otherwise, if everyone falls for that trick, that becomes that, then who's going to preach? In which situation can you preach? Right? Because you shouldn't go out on the street looking like a Hare Krishna, you'll disturb their finer sentiments. You know, meat eaters have such fine sentiments. Right? You know, they really care. Yeah. You understand? You know, so we can't do that. You shouldn't do Harinam, shouldn't do book distribution, you know. That, you know, shouldn't talk about Krishna, you know, but at the same time, is they're not using the technical, you know, technical things of talking about the Supreme and that, because devotees don't study, so they can't actually discuss things on the Paramatma Brahman platform without becoming Mayavadis or yogis. right? Because otherwise on the Bhagavan platform, the other two are included. But if you discuss the other two without Bhagavan, that's a problem. And we don't want to bring up Krishna, so we don't get to Bhagavan. And we don't know how to use, so therefore it's either you become, you know, something not Hare Krishna, or you keep your mouth shut. You understand? So where is it? Because in yoga studios you're tiptoeing around, you know, when you meet anyone else you tiptoe. When is the moment for preaching according to this this philosophy of fitting in with the modern environment? Because since when do karmis sit around discussing religion? They never do. Absolutely never do. You know, maybe on, you know, their day of rest, you know, whether it be Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, whichever it is, or, you know, for some people, 7 days a week, you know, like that. So that, does that mean they're more serious about, the nerds are more serious about God's Sabbath, you know, so whatever. So, you know, look at that chair they're in, right? You know, yeah, that one hanging from the ceiling, you know, with the video things up, you know, I mean, that's resting. You know? Yeah. So, now, other than when they go there, they might hear something, they might contemplate for a few moments, but it's like Smarshan Vairagya. As soon as they walk out, it's gone. They're already talking about this one and that one, and you know, my son's going to college, you know, I heard you have some connection there, can you, you know, put in a word for us, or that's what's going on. So there is no moment. According to this modern politically correct viewpoint, there is no moment. You know, maybe with academics you can how you say, banter about a bit, you know, like this, you know, like throw out a little bit of something, as long as you're not trying to conclude that there is a God and there is that, you know. You know, unless you're going to a Christian college and it's Christian, but if it's purely academic, you bring that out, you get tossed out. Like I said, Sorbonne. Now that's purely academic. You get tossed out on your ear. So it's not going to happen. This whole idea that, oh, the circumstance, we have to wait for the perfect circumstance. It's like, you know, the person's, you know, not breathing in a cardiac arrest, but wait for the right moment. No, it's an emergency. You just have to deal. Now the question comes up is our position, our feelings. Right? Does that make sense? Because the absolute truth works. People are an illusion. They come in contact with the absolute truth. They become affected because it's the soul. But we're trying to take it that the body is the soul. So we're saying, oh, we're not this body, so therefore it's all about the body. This is totally contradictory. This is not our philosophy. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that, like you're saying, is the chit potency. That's the point. So you're trying to get people contact with chit potency. So according to our ability, we do our best in whatever arrangements are there that we can interact and try to give something. So there's an opportunity, we take it. And if there's not, we wait. Mm-hmm. So it's not that there's not waiting, but it's because, you know, we wouldn't be able to do something in that situation. Yeah, you can give prasad in the sense. Narad Muni does, now sages, do they walk into Kamsa's court? Never. But Narad Muni, he walks right in and he's received well. You understand? So the point is it's not that there's any combination that you can't preach. It's just a matter of whether you're the one to do it. Right? So, therefore, if we're dealing with the other person, then what's the main thing? Because it's a matter of we have our ability or not. So if we're actually considering the other person, what's the consideration? Their benefit. And then, we're talking about opportunity then. There's a window. When does windows come? When people are distressed. That's the point where they're open to alternative viewpoints and stuff. Because it's not working for them. So if someone else gives an alternative, you understand? So when people are having, that's the time when you can give Krishna consciousness. It has to be according to the moods, the feelings, and everything that someone can accept. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. So that's the point, is we're not sensitive enough to actually deal in a personal, real way, only quasi, what do you call it, sensitive to be clever enough to work in, you know, in a politically correct way. But political correctness is not personal. Sad to say. People mistake it to be personal. But it's actually political. It's just a more cloaked way of being political. You know? You're getting your work done without the other person really knowing what's happening. Or even if they kind of know what's happening because you're using all nice words, it's hard for them to get a latch on how to deal with them. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the point, is that therefore, when they're open, that's when you preach. That's why Narad Muni is taking the opportunity. Otherwise, on the social platform, it's definitely, you know, he already, you know, is a problem before. And that, but he was the one that said that he preached to the sons the first time. The second time, that, you know, all the spies are there, so now they know. So he doesn't have to tell them. So he stays away. Right? Because he's inimical and this and that. But when he gets to the point where now he's open to that's when he goes. Now, whether Daksha takes it or not, that's their individual thing. Rather than, oh, they didn't take it, and so therefore, you know, that'll look bad for me, so therefore, you know, I don't preach, right? If I preach and they don't take it up, it'll look bad for me, better don't preach. But that's the point. So we're not worried about our own position. Does that make sense? We have to catch this principle. Then that we can apply into the time, place, and circumstance. But if we don't catch this fundamental principle, we can never use time, place, and circumstance. No matter how much we pontificate, we can't use it. Does this make sense? So we're dealing with subtle things now. It means we've always been, but now it's like the topic is the subtle. You know? So we're...
Not subtle details, but subtle principles.
Yes, subtleties of that. Because the details, then, most details we've dealt with. Now we're just getting different arrangements, you know, in which there's difficulties. Right here, he's lost his sons, like that, or, you know, how you say, Malayadvaj going to the forest, or Palad Maharaj being boiled in a pot of oil. You know, like this, we're going through and seeing how do the devotees react. You know, just like we can say, okay, Prahlad Maharaj dealt like this when he had, you know, the Relos weren't very appreciative, so, you know, he dealt like this. But, you know, what is he going to do if he's, you know, boiled in a pot of oil like I am? Right, you know, like that. Then there's the example. You know? Is that make sense? Is this? Like, in other words, we have to let go of this point that I am special. And I'm the center of the universe. It's a tough one. It's actually the toughest. But unless we accept that it has to be given up, then we're not going to move on it. It means, of course, Krishna is going to chip away at it. You know, water with the stone. But the point is how quickly do we want that stone to be worn away?
So that means if I do give that up, then I am special.
You can try that if you want. You can try it, see how it works out for you. But yes, that's the point, is that surrender to Krishna is what makes it work, because it's Krishna's creation. Krishna is the one making everything work. We surrender to Krishna, that's when it all works. But when it works means we're Krishna conscious.
Yes.
And others are Krishna conscious. It doesn't mean that the material situation actually physically gets any better or emotionally gets any better.
The experience of it gets better.
Yes, but how we're affected by it, that gets better. Because we're Krishna conscious, so it doesn't bother us anymore. So that's the thing. If Daksha says bad things about him or not, how does it actually affect Narad Muni and who he is and his identity? Right? You know, if we're not saying, well, you know, Narad Muni should have been Muni, well, now he's cursed and all this. And it's just, you know, okay, it happens. You know, it's like Narad Muni's cursed. He travels around the universe. And it works. Because the point is, he didn't have to accept the curse. But he thought, for his position as a, you know, traveling, you know, preacher, then, yeah, why not?
He did not change anything.
Sorry?
He did not change anything.
He didn't change. It doesn't mean that today he can't change it if he wants. Mm-hmm. But the point is, he doesn't, because it works for his preaching.
Yes.
Right? Because anyway, the Vedic principle is, you know, the sannyasi doesn't stay in any one place for more than 3 days. Right? You know, if he's in a material environment. So if he's in an ashram, that's that. But the point is if he doesn't even stay in the ashram for more than 3 days, means he's out preaching more.
The curse is always material, and the pure devotee doesn't want anything material anyway.
Yeah, so it doesn't affect.
It's like this tantric in Jayavadharma. He also does some tantra, and the person is like, to rob the person of his social position or something?
Of course. Point is, it's going to always be destructive.
Yeah, the devotee doesn't want.
It doesn't matter. So even if that goes, if you become more Krishna conscious, yes, then, you know, it's a blessing. Because, you know, otherwise, how is it you'll move on? You know, because we're struggling to make a nice situation, and so we're you know, it's in a bad situation. Or if we get a nice situation, we wouldn't want to change it, even though it's getting in the way of Krishna consciousness. Right? So because we see is that these ideal situations are not necessarily materially nice. Like we saw is with Queen Vidarbhi and Malaya Dwaj. Right? So as Vanaprastas, they're out. But the point is Prabhupada mentions, if the husband and wife are on this platform of Paramahamsa, they don't have to separate. Mm-hmm. They can go like that their whole life. But it's all about just their sadhana. So they don't even, you know, I mean, in that case, they didn't even talk. They were just, you know, with each other and just did what they did because it was just about the sadhana. So they didn't even talk. You know, it's a more extreme example, but the point was is, you know, what's to talk about? The weather, you know. You know. Is that what you're saying? It's just, there's something to do. You do it. And so then the point was is that they were on that transcendental platform. So, but it didn't mean that it was, you know, that cloth was torn, she wasn't taking care of her hair, all these different things came down, and so then what to do? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, it's like, how you say, there the tradition would be they just stop, you know, taking care of the hair.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that. So then, that's the way it works. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't care. So what does that mean? They have to be so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that they actually just don't care. You know, he's not feeling bad because now she's not more attractive. She's not feeling bad because she's less attractive. They're just companions that do their sadhana. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. So now for preaching, one combs one's hair. Okay, it works. But it's not necessary for the relationship. Does that make sense? That's the point. Before, it's necessary for the relationship. Now it's not necessary for the relationship. Right? Relationship goes on fine, because now it's just centered around the core parts of Krishna consciousness. It doesn't. All the other social aspects aren't important. Does that make sense? So in other words, you don't have a nicer situation in companionship between husband and wife. At the same time, materially, it would be, you know, seemingly the least, how do you say, ideal. Does that make sense? But that's the point, is that the external situation and the relationship, they're actually two different things. We're the ones that project, oh, if the situation is like this, then the relationship would be better. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, let us say, you know, there's a whole plan, made all the arrangements, and then, you know, the person will react like this, you'll say this, and then they'll say that, and, you know, you got it all your lines down. And then one little thing changes, and then you can't say any of the things, and then what? Then that's the point, is if it's not tricks, it's relationship. If you understand relationship, then you deal with what's there in the moment. But that means you have to put in the effort. So then it works. So that's the whole point. That's preaching also. That's the real point. Is now we're sensitive to the other person's mood, so we exactly see what we could say in this and that. And maybe we have some opening right there, or it takes a while to get to that. But the point is, we have to be trying. You know, even if it's going to take 6 years to, you know, how you say, bring up to your mother about Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
But the point is you're looking for the opportunity, and whenever it comes up, you deal with it. You know? Just thinking, for many, you can bring up the Krishna consciousness, you can't bring up all the side stuff, you know, just our own culture.
Yeah.
Like for me, with my mother, it's the exact opposite. She's saying she had a bad dream in the morning and this and that, and they said, what time was it? And she said, well, it was, because it was already the sun had come up. And so you can explain, so he explained that, you know, that's the time the sun is, that's when the ghosts and God, you know, all those guys move around, and you get bad dreams. Says, oh, I always wondered why that was happening. So she's cool with that. You just, you know, don't talk so much about the other stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it's a very, very different from that, Oregon. The same, yeah, yeah. So it's just that kind of, you know. There's some, you know, the cultural thing. So the culture is cool. You know, it's the philosophy, well, it's the, for most, you know, it's the, you know, the culture is the freaky stuff, and the philosophy, okay. Oh. Yeah.
So I have to present Krishna consciousness to family members that people we knew before. It's a great, it's a test, it's not so,
yeah.
It's easy to, for
it's
other
not,
people, but
but the point is how to maintain the relationship for by us staying in our position. Right? Means, in other words, we're devotees, and that doesn't change. So we're not going to change our standards in the way of, you know, at least important things. You know, we're not going to be eating the roast beef because that used to be our favorite when we were a kid, and, you know, otherwise your mom doesn't know what to do. You know, like that. You know, you cook. You know what I'm saying? So those things don't change. So the identity stays. But you just, you know, adjust and work with them so that they're comfortable and happy. You know, you don't keep commenting on everything they do. So when they, you know, they wipe their fingers on their jeans, you don't say anything. You know, maybe after shaking their hand, you go wash your hands. You don't make it so obvious, you know. You don't immediately pull out your, you know, little, your hand sanitizer.
You just sanitize their hands.
Yes. Yeah, just make sure that it's a hand sanitizer that has a nice fragrance if it's a lady, right? You know, so. Let me sanitize your hand first. So don't get the cheapo stuff. Okay, so we're all basically good. Okay. Okay. Prajapati Daksha was in great distress because of the loss of his sons, and therefore Narad Muni took the opportunity to instruct him regarding liberation from material bondage. Right? So then, you know, he has that opportunity. He's also a sadhu. He can come in. He's a grihastha, so he can. Technically, he's his brother. You know. So, you know, there's a lot of openings here. Prajapati Daksha said, "Alas, Narad Muni, you wear the dress of a saintly person." Right? This is not working out too good. Already from the first words. "But you are not actually a saint. Indeed, although I am now in grihastha life, I am a saintly person. By showing my sons the path of renunciation, you have done me an abominable injustice." Srila Vishnu 36. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, By wearing the dress of a saintly person, you are causing great deception. We are saintly, sadhu nam. Plural cases used out of pride. I am saintly. You have produced great misfortune for me, who would never show such hatred to you even in dreams. Right? Means, in other words, Prajapati Daksha would never preach to Narad Muni's sons about, you know, material life.
No.
Or about spiritual life either.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't have any sons, so.
No,
yeah, okay. Your great offenses become visible now after some time. What injustice did I do? You, with envy, not tolerating the happiness of household life, have shown the path of the beggars to my small children. They are like children, innocent, and they accepted the teachings of a cheater like you. Right? Rather than their, you know, adults, their free-thinking individuals, by their austerity, then they had the potency to actually appreciate and understand. By the association of Narad Muni, then they could understand it from the transcendental point of view. So he's just seeing them, you know, they're the kids. You know, it's just a standard thing, you know. It's sometimes, have you ever seen this, you know, you have the mother and daughter together, you know, moving around. The mother's 60, the daughter's 40, and they're interacting. It's still mother-daughter, you know, or the best one's like 80, 60, you know, but they're still, you know, like that. Or then, you know, you have a few generations like that. So it just doesn't change. So, you know, they're innocent, small children like that, even though they're, you know, out there at Narayana Saras doing, you know, all these austerities and everything like that. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada adds, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sanyashira Alpa Chidra Sarva Loka Gai. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 1251. In society, one will find many sannyasis, vanaprastas, grihastas, and brahmacharis. But if all of them properly live in accordance with their duties, they are understood to be sadhus. Prajapati Daksha was certainly a sadhu because he had executed such great austerities that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, had appeared before him. Right? So we have to remember, he is a sadhu. When he's saying, I am a sadhu, he is correct. Problem is his not being able to view Narad Muni as a sadhu. That's where the problem is. Nevertheless, he had a fault-finding mentality. He improperly thought Narad Muni to be asadhu, or non-saintly, because Narada had foiled his intentions. Prajapati Daksha condemned Narada because Narada, a brahmachari who could beg from door to door, had made sannyasis of Daksha's sons, who were being trained to be grihasthas. Daksha was extremely angry at Narada because he thought that Narada had done him a great injustice. Right? According to Daksha's opinion, Narad Muni had misled Daksha's inexperienced sons. Asad Vyakar Yabhar Kanam. Daksha regarded his sons as innocent boys who had been misled when Narad showed them the renounced order of life. Because of these considerations, Prajapati Daksha charged that Narad Muni was a sadhu and should not have adopted the dress of a sadhu. Mm-hmm. Right. Generally, so now, why would he think like that? So that's what happened. Generally, a grihastha thinks that unless one enters grihastha life, one cannot properly enter the renounced order because you can't give up anything. But for someone who needs to be in grihastha life, that is the situation. But if someone can since grihastha life is to get you to sannyas, therefore those who need to enter it should, and those who don't need to enter it, why should they spend their time?
Right. Seeing everything from his own point of view.
Yes.
Projecting that.
Yes. But it's being projected that that's the only way. Because basically, those in karmakanda, you can't perform karmakanda unless you're a grihastha. So therefore, everybody should become grihastha. Now that most do become grihasthas, now that's the point. But those who don't need to, then why should they? That's the actual position. But Prajapati Daksha is just looking at it. No, this is the only way. It's the only way you get realized in that. Because only by experience do they gain.
Yes, yes.
But persons like Narad Muni, by hearing and seeing, they get the full...
Yes.
Right? In other words, you can see the grihastha couple over there. You can see how, you know, they're standing in line there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's busy thinking of something and, you know, worrying about, you know, something practical for the family. And she makes some comment, and because he's so focused on that, he answers back in a mechanical way. She gets upset. So do you have to actually do that yourself to appreciate it, or you just see it? You know what I'm saying? If you go to any public place, all these things, you can see hundreds of them. You just have to sit there for a while. Sit there in one place for, you know, half an hour, you know, where it's busy, and you'll see tons of this. Basically, that's all you see. It's very rare you see anybody actually behave properly, you know. But, you know, so do you need that there? No, but the grihastha things, no, unless you've done it, you don't actually understand because you don't know the feeling they felt. You know, you don't understand what it feels like to be a real idiot, you know, and at the same time have such big false ego and all that, and, you know, why is she? So, yes, you don't. You figured it out before that. So who's smarter? You know what I'm saying? But that's the thing. No, you can't be experienced unless you've gotten it yourself. So if you require to go through it yourself to get the experience, then that has to be done. Because, in other words, the realization should be there. But if you get it by hearing and hearing and seeing, why go into that area yourself? Right? In other words, let us say even it's a grihastha. One grihastha is sitting there. And then he sees this other grihastha behaving. Then he understands what's wrong. So now he'll be a little more careful himself in his own merit. That's smarter. He learned by seeing. That's there, but the point is Daksha's talking about this life right now. He's not worrying about it. If he saw like that, he would understand is that since you're having to go through and perfect grihastha life, then you can come to sannyas. So if they were able to take sannyas, they must have already done that in the previous life. But he's looking at it, no, unless you've gone through, you won't have the experience, then you'll fall back into material life and stuff like that.
Unless you've gone through
it. No, well, he's just thinking of it right now. He's not thinking that broadly. Like that. We understand if someone can do that. Because the point is the training for a Naistika Brahmachari and Upakurvana Brahmachari are exactly the same. The point is one, by hearing about grihastha life, then they feel more comfortable to function in grihastha life because they have more knowledge and more, you know, idea of what one should do. Someone else, by hearing about it, they think, you know, why do I need to get involved in that? Does that make sense? So the same training. So that's why there's brahmachari training. It's not that it's different for upakurvana or naistika. So Daksha is sending them for upakurvana training. But Narad Muni, then he's preaching, and then by that they move to naistika. So in other words, the potential is there. Because like I said, is that you have a room full of brahmacharis, you teach what is brahmacharya, you'll see as the days go on, the brahmacharis start to separate into who's naistika and who's upakurvana. You know, you can watch it right there happening. So Narad Muni is speaking, he can see the response there, so therefore then he preaches and they become naistika. Right? So that having been done by past life, but that's the problem here. He thinks he's teaching something different. He's cheating. But actually the process of training is exactly the same. So how can it be cheating? Right? In other words, if they're saying we'd rather get married, no, that's nonsense, that's maya. No, but they were inclined towards not being married. They were inclined towards paramahamsa ashram. So he just encouraged that. Prajapati Daksha doesn't see that because in his mind there's probably never a moment he thought paramahamsa, you know, so therefore, you know, for him that's standard because, you know, we are sadhus, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Generally, grihastha thinks that unless one enters grihastha life, he cannot properly enter the renounced order. If a young man immediately adopts the path of renounced order in accordance with the instructions of Narada, or a member of his disciplic succession, his parents become very angry. the same phenomena is occurring in our Krishna consciousness movement, because we are instructing all the young boys in the Western countries to follow the path of renunciation. We allow grihastha life, but a grihastha also follows the path of renunciation. So unless one's trained in renunciation, how does one actually follow the path of grihastha life that is progressive? So it's, that's what we're saying. It's the same training. It's whether one does it without a wife or with a wife. The renunciation aspect is the same. Right? Does that make sense? The mood. Like, the detail of it is quite different. Like we say, you know, we're renounced. You know, we only have 250 stars instead of 500. You know? Hmm? You know, yes, so that's renounced. That's 50%. That's quite good. You know? Sorry? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, because he's... Yeah, yeah. But it's only 5-6 bedroom. It's not Versailles.
No. This is the house.
Yeah. Big house, a big lawn.
Of course.
A few gardeners. And
yeah, that's 64,000 maids.
64. Belgian maids. Okay. Why Belgian? Ah, okay. No, I get it. No, because of Belgium. They're in between. They're not... They're, in other words, they have a touch of the French, but they have a touch of the German. Because on one side's Holland, and the other side's that. So they don't have the how you say, the... that social confidence that the French have. You know, on the social and... all the formalities, at the same time as they're not so rigorous and mechanical like the Dutch. So I could see why specifically Belgian maids.
Pleasant but efficient.
Yes, pleasant but efficient. You know, and generally more quiet, more subdued. They're a quieter bunch than either side.
Yes.
When you have a clear thing, they're more, a little more boisterous.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not 64. Sorry?
Late.
Yeah. Of the Belgians. Yeah, so you just have to get over that one. Maybe that's why there's 64, so reduce the lateness. Yeah. You know, so that's... Well, it's like when the king, what was it? Gayatri Devi? She was the queen of Jaipur, but she's originally from Kuch Bihar, which means Bengal, up north. And so then when their family would go on an outing, then they would book two bogies, full bogies, on the train. Right? You don't understand bogies? The whole car. Right? So like if it's like nowadays, if it's third class, there's 72 berths. Right? Like that, no? In one bogey, right? So they would book two of them. One for the family, and the other for the luggage and the servants. You know? Because, you know, you have to be prepared for any occasion, right? Right? Because, you know, nowadays, because of the restrictions, and everybody's luggage is quite small. But if you look back in history, then it was they'd always move with trunks. They didn't have suitcases. They had trunks. You know, and generally a stack of trunks. You see a thing, you have the big trunk that's this. So on the very top, you know, that's the one that's got, you know, the, what do you call it? The hat in it or the, what do you call it? The Bulgari, you know, $250,000 necklace. You know, that's on the top one. That one's the one you carry, right? You know. No, because then it was train, it was boats, you know. Yeah. That's why, you know, if you go by sea, then you can take as much stuff as you like. Of course, but then when you get there also, it's like when the king, can't remember what state he was from, but they went to London, you know, with the whole family. And they went to, I'm not sure what hotel it was. Maybe it may have been the Ritz. but it was one of the big hotels. And they wanted the booking, and they weren't dealing with them because they thought, you know, they're Indians, and so what do they got, like this and that. And you know, so there's no bookings, it's all this and that, and so like that. So then he said, you know, he wanted to talk to the owner. So he bought the place. Kicked everybody out of the hotel. You know, I think left the staff because now he owned it. And then him and his family had a nice vacation in London for however long they stayed, a month or 3 months or whatever it is. And I think then after they left, then they sold it again. You know, so. Right? You understand? So therefore, yes, Ambarish just books a room and then checks out, you know? So it's like, it's simple. You know? So that's the point, is according to your position, what's simple? Then that's what you do. That's what's Krishna conscious. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. Renunciation means you just only how much is necessary. Right? They only needed one hotel. They didn't buy two.
Right? That would be fine.
I mean, that's
excessive.
You know, it's like, you know, one for each kid, you know, buy the whole street. You know. Okay, so we allow grihastha life, but a grihastha also follows the path of renunciation. So without the brahmachari training, how do we do it? Right? So everybody's trained in nivritti. Then it's a matter of pravritti's used in nivritti. That doesn't mean it's dry and doesn't have all the things. That's the problem. We don't understand. Is nivritti means it's just more careful. You know, it's just like, let's say you have a couple who's more frugal. Right? Will we consider their relationship bad? So that's all we're saying. You know, be frugal. You know, just do what needs to be done. But we'll take it, oh, renounce, then you have to be dry and boring and nasty and, right? But it has nothing to do with that. Renounce just means simple. That's all. You don't need more than what you can engage in Krishna service. Right? And so for one person, that's a lot. But they would have more. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, what do you call it? What was her name? Marcos? Or me? I can't remember what it is. You ever heard of it? They were the wife of the Prime Minister of Philippines. She had 3,000 pairs of shoes. You know, and they were all top shoes. You know, there was probably a lot of Louboutin there. I mean, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, there was a lot of stuff there. So she had 3,000, so someone else only has 300, and they're, you know, doing okay, or 30.
They're getting by.
Yeah, 30, they're getting by. Yeah. I always used to be amazed, look at my father's closet, there's 30 pairs of shoes. And they're mostly all the same, so I can't, what's the difference? You know, like that. But to him, there's a difference. Yeah, it's okay. 30, okay. Cool. You know, I had one pair of boots, I wore them for everything. Much to my mother's disappointment. You know. Yeah, I say. You know, formal dinner, suit, and work boots. Yeah. It didn't go down well, but. Okay. Even a grihastha has to give up so many bad habits that his parents think his life has been practically destroyed. We allow no meeting, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication. So that's renunciation. Mm-hmm. We take it that it's all the other stuff. This is renunciation. Right? I remember once it was a discussion came up. I think it was one of the preachers and that, and they were, I think it may start with Prabhupada. You know, they picked him up, I think, in Australia, in Sydney, in a Rolls Royce. Right, so picking up in the Rolls Royce and the journalists, they got to find some fault somewhere, right? And so then they, you know, go, I mean, you know this, you're enjoying luxury, and that says, and then he pointed out, says we don't eat meat, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. Where's the luxury? You know, how do you call this, you know, a luxurious life? It says, you give up those four, you can ride around in a Rolls Royce. And it's kind of like, no, I'd rather not ride around the Rolls Royce. So then they just dropped it. Because that's the whole point. These four aren't there, that's renounced life. So that's actually what we mean.
So we follow the four and then the rest?
Then the point is how much you can engage. And then
yeah.
That's why we're saying someone is 500, sorry, someone is 250, someone's 100, someone is 50, someone is 30, someone is 20, someone is 15, someone is 12, and yeah, it means, yeah, like that. So whatever works. I haven't bumped into anyone that had more than 500, but I'm sure they're out there. Huh? You haven't? No. Okay.
It's like Pundarikviniti.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what, he's a king. Point of the king doesn't have lots of stuff. No one respects him. Like I mentioned, I knew some lawyers, big lawyers, and you know they were very careful about their money. You know where they lived, they drive this and that, and you know it's just they were, you know, very exact. And I made this comment about you know, knowing one big businessman, you know, industrialist. He uses a you know the best Mercedes to go to business meetings, and he said if I don't, they don't take me seriously. Yeah. They think he's a small timer. What can he do? But you show up in that, and they think, okay, this guy's rich. You know, in other words, if he has that car, he has money. If he has money, that means he got money because people appreciated his work. So he must be good. So I mentioned this, and they came into me afterwards and says, no, but that's so superficial and all that. And says, yeah, that's who you're dealing with. So then, sure enough, later on he had some, you know, big business appointment, and he flew up to wherever it was, and instead of buying the little, you know, compact, you know, thing like this, whatever, he got himself a snazzy Mercedes and drove to the meeting, and he said he was shocked. He said it worked like a charm. Immediately, you know, before he'd always have to go in and then by his talking and this and that, then eventually convince him he knew what he was doing. This, he just walked in and he's the man. So, yeah, like that. So Pundarik Vidyaniti. If the king doesn't have a house bigger than yours, then why should he be the king? Right, you know? Does that make sense? You know, it's like you maybe have some, you know, like a little money pouch made out of velvet or, you know, some little zippy thing, you know. He's wearing a whole outfit of velvet. You know. He's got to be the king, you know. It's just so outrageous. Yeah, right? Exactly. So that's the point. It's necessary. Otherwise, people don't, you know, it's since materialists are interested in, or even not, just those who are engaged in occupational duties, they're doing that for profit. And so the person with the most profit must be the most respectable. Or it has to be the person who's given up the most profit is the most respectable. Therefore, the kings and the sages. And then everybody else will think, okay, we got to listen to these guys.
You know? And funny enough, it doesn't matter if it's materialist, even materialist, if you give up stuff, they will.
Yeah, they will. If you have nothing, because they can't relate to that.
No.
You know, no. One is beyond their means, so you're better, and the other is you're way beyond, so they can't. Mm-hmm. That's why the point that we were saying about before is that the brahmacharis, now Daksha will get more upset probably than his wife. Yeah. In one sense, she'll, you know, the loss of this and that, but at the same time is women appreciate renunciation. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's not something that is their concept. For them, they are, feminine means opulence. So therefore an environment of opulence is very natural. So one where you could have opulence and don't, that's very unique. Therefore it's attractive.
It also means that she feels safe, she won't be exploited.
That's also there. You know, so all these different things. But, you know, as long as the culture's proper. Yeah. So that's why you see, ladies may or may not listen to grihastha men, but they'll generally listen to brahmacharis and sannyasis who behave properly. If they behave badly, then that's a problem. You know what I'm saying? So that.
Huh?
Yes, yeah. So that would be, if they behave badly or behave properly, then they have an effect. That's why, because character is going to be the main thing. the main difference in patra is going to be character. You know, one's determination, one's focus, one's influence, and those come from the sadhana. That comes from the activity. So therefore, the solution to, I didn't know, they brought up something about the caste system, and I didn't know what to say, and I feel real embarrassed, and I don't feel that, one they didn't appreciate, so, and I, you know, I didn't appreciate, and I don't think any devotee should have to go through that, so therefore let's change Prabhupada's books. Right? So that's one approach. The other approach is, you know, get your sadhana together and become more serious in Krishna consciousness. Then you'll have something to say.
Read the books.
Read the books instead of changing the books. Don't fly business. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Like that. But remember one time Atmatattva, he was going somewhere, and you know how sometimes they get full and they'll bump you up to business even though you didn't do anything to seemingly deserve it, you know, other than great looks or, you know, whatever it is, you know, so. Yeah. So then he's there, and I think he got bumped up to first. There was some freaky thing, there was some party and all that, and he was alone, so they moved him into first because it was the only space left, and like this. Yeah. And so he's sitting with the gentleman there, and he's, you know, sadhu, and he talks like that, and he knows probably no better talker in the movement than him, right? And so the man, very impressed, the guy he's sitting next to, and this and that, you know, and everything was cool. Until somehow they got around to karma. And then he pointed out that, you know, it's karma. It says, I'm supposed to be in first class, though I only monkey class. Economy, that's it, right? Okay. That's the euphemism for it. Yeah. And so then the guy freaked out. You know, it's just like, you're not supposed to be here. Oh. Well, you know, it shook him for a moment.
All that
you know, because he's thinking, you know, okay, I'm rich, I'm here, you're rich, you're here, and hey, and you're a sadhu, that's cool, you know, something to talk about for, you know, 3 hours on the flight or whatever. You know, so.
Yeah, that's unfair. He paid so much money.
Yeah, and this guy's. But it wasn't the clothes that bothered him. It wasn't all the philosophy and all that. He's cool with all that. So that's the thing, is they're cool with that. They just, you know, want to make sure that you're supposed to be there. Am I going to get cooties? You know?
Going to bump me down?
Yes. Okay. So the point is, if you can stick to these four regulative principles nicely and be fixed in them, yeah, no matter how much facility you have, if it's according to your means and you're able to be, you know, maintain Krishna consciousness, then it doesn't matter. Because this is the actual main point here. Mm-hmm. Right? So there's this on the external, and on the internal is that everything's for Krishna. This is the actual renunciation. Does that make sense? And consequently, the parents wonder how, if there are so many no's, one's life can be positive, right? You know, what can you do, right? You know, in the Western countries especially, these four prohibited activities practically constitute the life and soul of the modern population. Therefore, parents sometimes dislike our movement, just as Prajapati Daksha disliked the activities of Narada and accused Narada of dishonesty. Nevertheless, although parents may be angry at us, we must perform our duty without hesitation, because we are in the succession from Narad Muni. So he did like this, we did like this. Because otherwise, if we don't, then everyone will just go on in their material life. Oh yes, we didn't bother them. Oh yes, I'm such a wonderful devotee, I didn't bother any materialists. And they're all going on with their material life just perfectly and fine, and I didn't upset anybody. Aren't I such a wonderful preacher? So the point is people will get disturbed. But the point is find the one man in that you know, that, how you say that, what do you say? The best man in the crowd. Right? That's the thing. The one person who is in, find them. Give them Krishna consciousness. Right? Then that works. Like that. But you may have to go through a whole crowd to get it. I mean, like we got, that I think it was last year or year before, that one devotee, there was one devotee here from Sweden, And there's that famous lecture where Prabhupada spoke about, you know, for the Varnashram system. It didn't just talk Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, you know, the intellectual, this, that, and trying to make a song. You said first class man, second class man, third class, just to rile them, because, you know, the Swedes are so much into this equality and everyone's equal and don't rock the boat and don't say anything and everything like that. So he specifically said that, you know. And then, you know, when they ask him, so what class are you? Because they're expecting him to go, oh, of course, I'm first class. He says, no, I'm fifth class, servant of the other four. Then everybody was cool, and he just went on with the lecture. Right? So from that whole thing, because it's a lecture hall, generally lecture halls are around 300. I don't know why 300. Why not 250, not 350? They're always 300, right? I don't know. Maybe they've worked that out, but that's the maximum amount that can, you know, hear you or something. I don't know. Yeah, critical mass or like that. You get more than that, you get too much gum underneath the, you know, underneath the tables or something. I don't know. You know, so that he was the only one of that whole crowd who became a devotee. So that means that one, he came up and, because I mentioned it in the class, and he came up and says, I was there. I'm the only one that became a devotee. So that means that whole lecture was successful because one person became. So that means it's like, you know, it's like panning for gold. You go through a lot of, you know, sand and silt, and then you get some gold. So that's the whole point. That's what preaching is. If we just want it to be, you know, a walk in the park, then, you know, go walk in the park. Yeah. You know, but you know, but then, you know, you're walking your park. There's the guys on skateboards. There's the guys on rollerblades. You know, there's the guys in the bushes with knives. There's, you know, there's a lot of stuff in that park.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, but it's a matter of who's ready to identify and function. We see everybody as servant, that's why we preach. But who's ready to acknowledge that, that's what we're looking for. Been around.
Yeah.
It's not new anymore.
No.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is that it's different because these people that you're talking about, they're not, I'm sorry, they're just doing it because of their experience.
Yes, that part. But the point is therefore become secure. How will we become secure? By becoming Krishna conscious. By studying, by reading, by practicing, by talking to others. You know, if you're there, what do you say? You know, and, you know, just learning to like that. And then next time you go out, then you have something to say.
I'm just thinking that you're saying that this view is not beneficial, but Vikramaditya also has this view, so I'm just trying to see...
I don't catch the thread.
I'm trying to understand this. The Vikramaditya also sees everybody as already in their...
Yeah, so it's just a matter of discussing Krishna consciousness with them. But according to the position they discuss. We're talking about the other one, what I was talking about, the insecurity, they just see them that, you know, they're the standard social environment and they're okay. They're not seeing them as souls and seeing them as devotees, you know, from that point of servants of Krishna, they're just seeing that, you know, here are the you know, standards, the, you know, of the bastions of modern, you know, social pranamoy society, and therefore upsetting them is, you know, upsetting the whole thing. That's what we're saying. They're in a superior position. Otherwise, you know, you say, oh, something, the karmis are nicer than the devotees, and, but maybe externally, but the point is that niceness is borrowed. It's not real. Next life, they won't have it. Later in this life, they won't have it. Change the situation, you won't see it. Right? You put anyone in a position of renunciation, and then the heart starts to become purified. So when it becomes purified, what happens? Like when you're washing something, let's say you put some dirty clothes in the water. Right? So then, you know, the perfect natural... situation is, you know, you have this nice bucket, this nice clean clear water and some nice, you know, white as the foam on milk, you know, soap suds on top.
Yes.
Right? And then you put this, you know, dirty garment inside and you wash it nicely. And, you know, when you finish, the garment is sparkling clean. The water is crystal clear. And the soap suds are, you know, just as nice as they were in when you started. Right? Isn't that how it works? Isn't that perfection? Isn't that what it should be? Isn't that reality? No, it means you put something dirty in there and you get it out of the closet. Well, where does it go? It comes out. So that means following the path of renunciation, following devotional service, you're controlling the senses, so all those impurities come out. And so sometimes you see them. You know what I'm saying? But if you're aware of it, then they don't stick. If you're not aware of it, then you think it's normal and then they go back inside. You mean it's okay that I get, you know, upset and angry and this and that. Then that means then you think that's normal. So then that is your quality. So then Maya will put it back inside. You know, it's like, you know, goes through your closet. You need this? You know? The difference is if you say yes, she'll put it back in the closet. She won't even say, are you sure? You know what I'm saying? You know? So that's the... Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes. So Maharaj, if preaching is connecting with disturbing people, in his community, we need to be prepared to be disturbed ourselves.
Yes, yeah, but that's the point. They don't want to be disturbed, so therefore, otherwise, why am I so worried about them? Because I don't want to be disturbed. If I don't mind being disturbed, then I'm not worried about them being disturbed.
Yes.
But I will do my best to try not to disturb them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but to be disturbed, if we in order to become a good devotee of Krishna, we need to be helped. We preach by Senior devotees.
Yes, yes, yes.
So they are going to disturb our state of mind.
Yes. Of the status quo will be disturbed.
Yes.
No, it means you're trying your best not to, but the point is it's like, okay, let us say you have an injury and you have to put medicine.
Yes.
You try to do it as nicely as possible, but it's still going to hurt.
Yes.
You know, or the bandage, you try to take it off as nicely as possible, it's still going to hurt, you know.
Yes.
Unless, of course, you're German or something. You know what I'm saying? But then that means it's as quick as possible.
Yes.
Right, you know. The other one's pulling slowly and it's hurting. Okay, it's done. You know, so everyone has their standards of, you know, how, you know, slow and less but for a long time or quick and all at once. Or, you know, fiddling around, you know, putting water or alcohol, or this or that. Nah, just, you know.
Sadhu means to cut himself.
Sadhu means to cut. But the point is the cutting doesn't have to be a battle axe. You know, it can be, you know, neural brain surgery. You know. But the point is, you know, that means to cut, yes.
Isn't the other point that in order to be successful in any endeavor, you're going to disturb someone anyway?
Yes.
Like any successful in between or in the future.
Have to.
So it's a
reason
to think that we can
just... Yeah. Yeah, just like the entertainer, he's there, it's a full house. It's not that 100% of the people there like the jokes.
Yes.
Some people get upset.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
You know, the politician, he's got the position, someone else doesn't, they don't like. You know? Whatever you do, then if you become good at it, no one's going to like it. So this is the only thing that... become, you know, so you get trouble for that, they have trouble. This, you can become good at Krishna consciousness, you get benefit, and you can actually give the others benefit. But it's not that there's not going to be some trouble in accepting it, or they won't give trouble to you. But the point is, at least you have Krishna consciousness. The other one, you're going to have trouble anyway, and no Krishna consciousness. So the point is, you're going to have trouble. Trouble is this, the material world. But we're thinking, oh, how to make it where there's no trouble. But
yes.
That's called the heavenly planets.
Yes.
So we have to look at actually making people Krishna conscious. Actually,
yes.
Benefiting.
Yeah. There's that the really real thing. So real compassion. That's what Prabhupada says, so-called intellect, so-called scientist, so-called philanthropist, because it's not real. Yes.
What about this funnel analogy is that we actually want to cast a wide net and attract a large crop of people within that with goals. Therefore, the initial approach should be as soft and friendly and as understood as possible. And from there, we sit.
But how do you know that what you, that your softness is going to get anything? Let's say I take my pan, and because I'm so gentle, I don't actually push it with any force down into the silt that's on the bottom of the river. I just kind of, you know, very carefully just cast whatever's floating by in the water, you know, because I'm so gentle. And now from that, then I'm going to pan for gold. You know. So the whole point is this, it means if you're saying that I'm the funnel, but how big's your funnel? There's 7 billion people on the planet, so already your funnel is narrow. That's the thing, is however wide they say, they think that's wide. I'm the generous one, but to someone else, that's not generous at all. You know what I'm saying? So it still is subjective. The point is that it's not a matter of softness, it's a matter of exactness, it's a matter of truth. The point is if they don't hear something truth, how do you know that anybody that you've attracted, there's a potential for Krishna consciousness? They may just like yoga. That's all. There are no interest in God consciousness, nothing. So the point is yes, you can go through hundreds like that. You know, so, you know, and everybody else, they go through hundreds. So what's the problem? Because someone becomes a devotee, do they feel bad about how they were made a devotee? You ever hear a devotee complain about how he was, somebody made him a devotee? Right? They may blame the devotees for them having joined later. You know, oh, I came and I didn't like this. But they don't like that anyway. The point is they didn't have the piety to join at that time. They're thinking, I'm the cat's meow, so if they had dealt properly, I would have joined immediately. No, you didn't have the piety. Let's get real. Now, of course, the devotee, you know, could have been, but the point is Maya's there. And instead of doing it by karma, she did it by devotees. But the point is you took it. People come to the Dom and they're in ecstasy being in the Dom. Other people come here and they're freaking out about this politics, that politics, the weather, the bugs, you know, the local, anything. And they're gone. But why were they here in the first place? Because they were freaked out wherever they were. Wherever you go, they're freaked out.
Similar to the point that the circumstance, we look at, oh, that must be the situation, it can't be.
Yeah, no, but it's them. One person's in ecstasy here, another person's freaking out. It's the same place.
Is the Dham more annoying for a Sarmi than outside the Dham because it's moving in a different way?
That I don't know. That you have to talk to individuals who've brought relatives.
Well, yeah. I
It's intense.
Yeah.
So, most likely, if they're not from a background where there's high intensity, then, you know, I mean, in other words, if someone's from, you know, a place like New York or that, they may be more comfortable than if they're from a, you know, podunk, you know, Missouri or something, you know, like that. Then it may be a bit wild for them.
Okay.
I think it's an actual place.
Podunk?
I think that
Missouri.
Yeah, but I'm not sure.
We'll have to look it up.
Yes.
In China.
Our
ladies.
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 I see.
I asked about Maharaj Babu and why we call that woman. So they say because men are stupid.
That you could have asked the ladies, they would have told you that anyway.
I also
ask, because Prabhupada says because they are more religious. Men tend to be more intellectual, women tend to be more religious. So you see that anyway. You have pandals, there's more ladies there. They come for the religious aspect. Yeah, but the point is now if you get the lady, okay, even just say you get the lady. Okay, now what does she cook in the house? Sorry? Is that the important point, is the vegetarian? The lady is a devotee. What is the family going to be eating? Good guess. Yes. So now the whole family gets. You catch the woman, you have the whole family. So it means you're going to get everybody anyway. In other words, you know what I'm saying? So that's it. The ladies are smart enough that they appreciate religion, and they're clever enough to work in the prasad and all that, and that way then you'll get all the stupid men to join. So don't worry, it just takes time. So in other words, Prabhupada said that the Chinese would be the last to come, right? No? So you know, because of that, you know, that materialism and focus. So that means the Chinese women are not as bad as the Chinese men. So you're getting the women now, so that means the next step is you'll get the men. So don't worry. Okay. I remember seeing one house, it was at, you know, they had the Krishna altar and they had the Buddhist altar. Mm-hmm. The husband's Buddhist, so... And she cooked for both, right? You know, because one is, just, you know, okay, cool. Husband is, you know, okay, you can have your altar, but my altar, you know, but she has to do the cooking and offering and all the puja. But the point is then they're all eating prasad. Buddha's happy, right? He gets the prasad instead of something weird, you know? You know what I'm saying? So it works. Yeah? Yeah. No, it's because of the religious. That's why if you use the analytical, in other words, by preaching about the analytical aspects, that will catch more of the men, though there's ladies who appreciate it. And by discussing also what's the tradition, the culture, the reasons behind it, the relationships, that will catch most of the women, though that will the men will appreciate. You understand? So the point is when you have the philosophy and the culture, that's complete. That's what people appreciate. And then whichever in that or combination attracts them, then it works. But generally, people use one or the other. They don't use them both together, but they go together. That's why we think renunciation is dry. And then, you know, grihastha life without all the restrictions, then that's comfortable and nice. Because we don't know how to use both together. You know, we can't be... That's how you get De Bono's hats. Because then you're using this hat and not that hat. But the Vedic system is you can use all the hats at once. Because they're all connected. One hat can't function without the other hat. It's just which is prominent. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty, because I'm doing my being practical hat. Therefore, I don't have to follow any etiquette or be nice. I just have to be straightforward and to the point and, you know, upset everybody. And then, you know, we're the bad guys, you know, Hare Krishnas, because we not knowing how to be nice are being not nice and presenting Krishna consciousness. But the materialists, they're all being not nice and presenting material life. How many people's boss is nice? How many supervisors are nice? How many people in the cubicle next to you, the guy's nice? You know? How many people deal with the bathroom in a nice way? You know? Do you understand? So where's this wonderful niceness that they're talking about? You know what I'm saying? There's some superficiality of a few individuals. There's a general culture. Where's the nice? You know, we worry about, you know, how are we dressed and how we present ourselves. As I mentioned before, I sat in JFK. How long were there? 3 hours, 5 hours? Like that. In the whole time we were there, I saw three people that were actually dressed properly. nice, you know, proper, you know, clothes were nice, everything matching. They held themselves good. They looked socially acceptable. Everyone else was a slob. I mean, literally a slob. And then we're worried that we're the guys that look like slobs. You know, it's just our slovenliness. Then those who are slobs can notice that it's slobbish, right? So that's why what are they talking about? Two socks that don't match. They're not talking about if the socks match what you're wearing, or if the shoes match what you're wearing. It's just something so obvious that you have two different kinds of socks. You know, or you got shoes and they don't have laces, or, you know, something, you know, like that. So you take care of those little minimal things, and then, you know, we're as best dressed as everybody else. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is who's nice in the material world? People talk about it, but who is? You know what I'm saying? Prajapati Daksha said, "My sons were not at all freed from the three debts. Indeed, they did not properly consider their obligations. O Narad Muni, O personality of sinful action, you have obstructed their process towards good fortune in this world and the next because they are still indebted to the saintly persons, the demigods and their father." Right? When he says next, he means next within the material world. Yes. Narad Muni is talking about next, not going back to Godhead. Yes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "By taking to renunciation, it is possible to cross over samsara. But renunciation is not suitable for persons in household life to follow. Shruti says, Jayamano hava brahmanas tribir rinavan jayate brahmacharyena rishibhyo yagyena deve bhiha. Prajaya pitribhya eshava anrino ya putri yagyakrit brahmachari vapi. The brahmana has three debts by birth. By brahmacharya one repays the sages. By sacrifice one repays the demigods. And by producing offspring one repays the pitris. He who has sons performs sacrifice. And he who has sons performs sacrifice and observes brahmacharya life has no debts. Vishishta Dharma Shastra." Right? So instead of the five main, because the others are subsections of basically of these, then this is the ones that are there. So that's why Daksha was sending his kids for brahmacharya, because that debt is being paid. If you want to be a grihastha, you have to pay these debts. Right? If you don't want to be a grihastha, then you have to be a brahmachari, and then that way it pays the debts. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, yeah. "My sons did not repay their debts and did not consider their karmas. They are not free from debts to the sages yet. They are not free from debts," because the sages is actually study of Shastra. Mm-hmm. And then, the sages are that, the devatas are there. Notice he didn't use the Shastras and he didn't use the guests, or the Brahmins. So, therefore, but they studied the Shastra and they understood the conclusion of the Shastra. So actually this way they paid all the debts. Right? Because then the real father is the spiritual master. Right? Then they paid that. Then the real sacrifice is everything being offered to Krishna. So actually they actually repaid all their debts. But because he's working on the platform of karma, he's not seeing this. "They are not free from debts to the devatas and pitris, since they will not produce children or perform sacrifice. O sinner, killer of trust, because of renouncing material enjoyment, their enjoyment in this life has been ruined. Fortune in the next life is also ruined, because they have taken to renunciation without having been qualified." Right? So this is his thing. But if you go back to Godhead, you don't have to worry about the renunciation and the results, right? It's already done. Manu says, "Rinani trinan yapapa kritya mano mokshe niveshayet." anapakritya moksham tu seva mano vrajet yadha. Having paid one's three debts, the mind should enter into liberation. Not paying those debts and practicing for liberation, a person goes to hell. Manusmriti 6:35, right? So the point is if you're going for liberation itself, then yes, you have to pay the debts. But if you're going for real liberation, that already pays the debts. That's why Krishna says, surrender to him, and there is no reaction. That's the whole point. You surrender to him, there is no reaction. That's why Sarvadharmam, you can give up all the other religions. You just surrender to Krishna. By doing that, all these debts, everything is paid. So these debts are actually a very big thing. Like that. People don't think about it. You know, if they're not doing devotional service, you have to pay these debts. But if we're not so absorbed in devotional service and we don't consider these debts, there's a problem. Right? So because we want that free life. We don't want to be restricted by the debts. We don't want to be restricted by devotional service. So it's not a matter of simply just devotional service. We don't want to be restricted. We want to be whimsical.
Yes.
So that means an authority.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.